Hey, good morning. Well, I want to talk about something in a few minutes, something else. So let's just begin with a word of prayer and move into our morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your word. How grateful we are for the opportunity to come and study it, worshiping together. We pray that we're glorifying to Christ today. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. All right, let's begin with song.
All right, the tune Jesus Saves is hymn number 277. Would you join us, please? Turn to hymn 277. We have heard the joyful sound.
Excellent word.
Okay. We've got several things we need to be in prayer about. Robbie Dean is started in the Ukraine, and just one bad thing after another. First of all, he came down with COVID-19, and that put him back. And then when he was ready to go, they've invaded the country. So now he spent time trying to get across the out of the Ukraine so that he could get on a plane and come to America. We have a pastor's conference on the next Monday coming up in March, and so he's got to try to get back to town. So let's be in prayer for Robbie Dean, and be in prayer for everyone in the Ukraine. They just need our prayers so much. There's some fine Christians that Robbie goes there to speak and teach. And it kind of started with Jody himself, Jody Brown, 1993. And it has now come to this level of where it is. So it's really wonderful there. So let's please be in prayer for him in that respect. Next, Mike and Betsy. Mike and Betsy, as you know, are going through a battle, and they are so thankful for the cards and the food that they have been receiving. And she said it just was amazing how the love and respect that she's received from the church. And that he's received. So let's continue to be in prayer for Mike and Betsy at this time. Let's see. Next Sunday is communion, so let's be in shape and prayer and ready for that, and to eat with each other and worship there. Also today. 29 years ago, today, not this week, but right now today, 29 years ago, I married Mark and Martha, and just so happy for Mike and Martha at this time, and Mark just, she just stayed with him, and right through it, and so we're happy for them at that time.
I think I've done a fairly decent job.
Okay, next, do we have any prayers? Yes.
Our friend Noelle is going in for her lung cancer surgery tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes. And yeah, they're going to be removing the upper lobe probably and a couple lymph nodes.
Wow.
Yeah. So just be in prayer.
All right, let's be in prayer, and please get us posted on it. Very good. All right, any other prayer requests? I'm getting ready.
Question.
Yes.
She's doing pretty well. Yeah, she has her good weeks and her bad weeks.
Yeah, she'll have a good day and a bad day.
Yeah.
But she's doing all right.
Yes, yeah, she is.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks for asking.
People, we need to make some decisions about Spring Valley Bible Church. Now, we don't have very many people here, and I wonder why. John Hintz and I talk. Same things are going on in his church. I talked to Jody Brown, and the same thing is going on there. So it may not be anything that we need to think about it more, but we need to do something for the young people coming to church and for people coming back to church, studying the Word of God. And take, for example, Wednesday. Wednesday's going to be extremely important. We're going to start the study of the book of Hebrews, and it is just amazing the number of things that are in Hebrews, in regard to the Jews and the first century and the Jews today and even Christians today. So we've got a lot of things we can be thankful for and to get involved in regard to here. And this morning, Kit was just super in the study dealing with Judges. So it's not a matter of the poor teaching. It's I don't know what it is, but we need your prayers and concentration and think about it, what we can do, what we need to do, what we should do, what maybe we should do, what maybe we shouldn't do, and there's things like that for our church in this time. For example, our study today is dealing with His love, and I kind of came across this song on page 36. It's God is love, His mercy brightens. God is love, His mercy brightens all the path in which we row. And the whole song is just really super, but we don't sing it, but it's just good. I'm sorry? Oh, I thought you said sorry. So we need to be in prayer sometime. Think about that. All right? Good. And then we need to be in prayer for the Ukraine. Found out that Zelensky, the president of the Ukraine, is a born Jew, and his grandfather and her and his father, so it'd be his uncles, they were died in the Holocaust. And so he said quite a legend in this respect. So let's be in prayer for the Ukrainians and the Christians that are there, with their ones that are studying, learning, walking in the Lord, the desire to be in the Lord. So we need to be in prayer for the Ukraine and for the believers there. Now, let's, I don't know if we need to do different things or what we can do, and if we have to do anything. John Hintz, he's having the same problem. Jody Brown's having the same problem. So maybe there's not so much a problem as it is the work of God, but we need to take up our offering, take care of the young people, take care of our internet, Sue, and things here. Yes.
I was just going to say, Jody Brown has a beautiful church in Indiana. John has a very nice church, so it's not about the building.
The building, no. Yeah.
That's right. That'd be
home and watch it online.
Yes.
Very well and said, because Jody Brown has a great church. It was a barn. I mean, barn. It was built in the early 1900s, and just a great-looking church. And John has a nice church. I don't know when it was built, but he's had that one going for a while. So it's not so much the building as it is something about the people. So we need to tell people about our church, about what's being taught, and get ourselves into that respect. So let's prepare.
But Herman, I'd like to point out this church, speaking from a business perspective, is solvent. And that's a very important part of what happens here.
Yeah.
Solvency.
Yes.
That's it.
Very good.
So, you know, bodies in the chairs are important, but being solvent, that means, you know, God's sitting here going, yeah, they're okay.
Yeah.
You know, all right, we're doing fine there. And Anel said it. The technology.
That's very well. Very well said. All right.
Yeah.
So maybe?
I'd like to share something. There's a YouTuber on YouTube, of course, talked about that this is a crisis for the whole world, that there are so many churches in the world that some of them are down to 3 people, and they have opted to do the broadcasting. They were able to reach out to more people, but the gentleman, he himself was a street preacher. So he actually said the church is everywhere, and don't forget that the Bible actually calls for us to congregate for reasons. It's not just for us to watch the TV passively. So with that said, I do encourage, you know, whoever is on the internet, if you can get plugged in to the local church, and then you can watch our series or listen to our MP3 in between, you know, we're good, we're cool that with that too. You know, and to send us a contribution, we love that too. Yeah, that you do have a church body. And for those three mighty ones, like what the gentleman was saying, but his church still meeting with only three people, but he's still meeting.
Yeah, I remember, Herman, that all the steamers in here that didn't live in Houston, we listened to the cassette tapes all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah. That was it. You go in the house, Mom's got a tape on. That's the truth. So, yeah. You know, until what we went to the A-frame in, what, 78?
Yeah.
Yeah, we walked in with my family, Mom, Dad, and the kids. Yeah. We all walked in, I think it was 78 or 77 at the A-frame, and started going to church.
Yeah.
And prior to that, it was Cassette Deck City at the Hacienda. and that's the truth.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now, if I walk in and there's only three, and my wife is one of them, I hope, and maybe two other people, I don't know. Maybe we'll just go to a restaurant and sit down and eat, and I'll talk about it there. But,
well, now, it's more important that you stand up there and do the talking head deal.
All right.
Okay? That is important.
Very good.
To have an individual representing our, I hate to say it, our views, you know, how we view it.
Yeah. Okay. We just see how we see the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to go down to the social gospel church and kick it with the band, take off.
Thank you.
I agree. We drive
by one every time we come. I mean, they've built on both sides of the street, and, you know, you can see the band bus out there. It's choice.
Yeah.
Pat, did you have something?
I was just going to say that if there were three here, I think you've told many times the joke of the pastor feeding the flock, and that you know, the cowboy said, just don't dump the whole load.
Yeah.
But the point being, Julie is still, we're still recording and we're still sending it out.
Yeah.
So we've
that's
got
right.
To be able to continue sending it out.
Well, I appreciate your all's attitudes then. Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yes.
I'd like to say, when I didn't get to leave the hospital for 5 months with Thomas and didn't get to come to church, and we didn't have it on the internet then, it was something I really missed. I can remember coming, driving by myself, Rick stayed with Thomas, and I just cried the whole way to church, knowing that I was going to get to come back to church. You know what I mean? So you don't take it for granted, that's for sure.
Oh,
so I needed that.
All right, thank you.
Building, you know.
All right.
Yeah, do it for us.
Huh?
If anything, do it for us.
Yeah, well,
why did I drive all the way to Tulsa?
I know it. That is really something. Good grief. You get that the award for coming the furthest way. Well, I feel comfortable about the offertory. We need to take an offertory. We got the money for young people for here, people listening. So let's prepare ourselves in the offertory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love your word. We love studying your word, talking with each other about your word. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll continue teaching, proclaiming of the word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
be turning to number 382. That's just back of page 382. Is that better? Okay.
Can we do the song that you were just playing?
Yeah. Sorry, I got it mixed up.
We're with you.
My
faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary,
Savior
divine. Now, hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine.
May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire.
As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee,
pure, born, and changeless, be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When end life's transient dream, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust revert. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul.
Okay, hope everyone has a copy. God Acts by Love. And what we're going to do is, I was working on love in our study in Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4. And I've taught love for many years from R.B. Thiem, people in Dallas Seminary, and books and things. And I was reading Stephen Cornock in 1798. And the title is the Essence and Attributes of God. And what was so interesting when I looked at it, I picked it down. Well, let me see what he's got to say about it. Dealing with the essence and attributes of God, he doesn't even have love there. But I started reading through and other things that he was saying. So it's what we're going to do is something we've never looked at in regard to his love and what we're going to be studying in this. And so let's begin with our prayer. And again, I cannot say just enough in regard to about the Hebrews and Jews. I'm going to be doing a lot of study and teaching on Jews today even that do not come to Christianity, and why they are so strong in staying away from Christianity. And we've just got some very interesting things to study. So let's begin with the word of prayer and move into our study. God Acts by Love. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. How grateful we are for your love that is so given to us in your word. Pray, Father, you will guide us now in our study. Pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. This is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So, we're looking at the love of God. As I said, this may be a little different than all that I'm going to be doing here, but I've been so happy with studying about Stephen Carnock's book dealing with the essence and attributes of God. So point one, the essence of God is love. God is not love in his essence, but love by his essence. Therefore, God loves by himself and from himself, not for participation from another. Since his love was not received from another, he is love by his own nature. Now, as I go through this, if you got any question, feel free to raise your hand and let's talk about it. Because I said, this is a new journey for us. He could not receive his love from the ones he created. That's important. He could not receive his love from the ones he created. Both they, the ones he created, and his love are older than he. He is absolutely in his own love. He needed not to make him loving. He is absolutely his own love. He needed none to make him love. But all creatures needed him to be in love. Creatures, creation of God, are made loving by being made so by him. Creatures are made loving by being made by him. He is not the being of God and then afterwards loving. He is loving as he is God, and therefore we love him because he first loved us. Now point two. God is the prime and chief of love. Just thinking about his essence, the prime and the chief of his love. Nothing can add to him or make his love more than he is. Nothing can detract from him to make him love less. Nothing can be added to him or subtracted from him. Not the presence of any creature can cause him to love more, and not any can make him love less. Micah chapter 7, verse, yes.
I am actually a little bit surprised by that, because if you talk to people who are parents, it's when they talk about when they first have that child, how that is just completely different love. So he didn't have any difference in his love when he had Jesus, when he had a son?
Not when he had creation. Because if, and I'll be saying that, but I'll say it even now, if he loved us more or something because he created, that means he was lacking before. And he was not lacking.
Okay.
So you're right? Not talking about Jesus, you're just talking about
creation. No, talking about God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons in iniquity and passes over a rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. Now, point three. God is omnipotent. Therefore, no love can be wanting of him. In other words, he can't be lacking in some love. If he were destitute, of anything which he could have, he would not be almighty. Understand that? God is necessarily love. Nothing or no creature is necessarily love, but God himself. He is necessarily love as he is necessarily God. His love is inseparable from his nature as his holiness is. He is love by nature, not only by will to love, but by his holy nature. He is love in his nature. That is God. God is love in his nature and love in his actions. It is not necessary that God should create a world. Okay, that's where we begin. It is not necessary that God create a world. He was of himself to make his own decision to create or not create. But when he resolved to make a world, it is necessary that he should make it of his love.
Okay, Herman.
Yes.
Question here. We understand imputation. We understand plus R. We understand plus justice. And yet we're talking about love. And in my mind, God's love, or our love, or love in general, does not supersede the application of his righteousness and his justice.
Okay.
That is correct?
That is correct. I will come to that. I will come to that. But he created and worked with his righteousness, not violating his love at all. And he did not violate his love in redeeming mankind. So I'll be dealing with those things.
Okay?
But when he resolves to make a world, it is necessary that he should make it of love. Because he is love, and he cannot act against his very own nature. Now, point four. The more excellent anything is that is created by God, the more of his love and kindness it has in its creation. The more perfect anything is, the more it does communicate his love. He is caused of all his love, of all his creation, by his love. He must therefore himself be supreme love. He must be supreme love. God cannot love richer than all his creation. God's judgment in the world is not an infringement in his love. His judgments in the world, not an infringement of his love. The judge of God is part of his love. God himself thought his love was in his justice. When God declared that his wrath is received from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, Romans 1:18. It is of his love to hate evil, and therefore a substance of love, of his love to discipline it, evil. It is not, well, let me just tell you, what happened was when I was reading through chapter after chapter, and it was about, I think, almost 800 or 900 pages in his book, Carnac's book, just different things that he would say about love and about God and about creation that just everything just started flowing for me and the teaching and what I'm doing. Okay, now, 4, the more excellent anything is that is created by God, the more of His love and kindness is it has in its creation. The more perfect anything is, the more it does communicate His love. He has caused of His of all creation to love. He must, therefore, Himself be supreme love. If He's going to create it, He has to be supreme of it. God cannot love richer than all His creation. God's judgment in the world do not infringe on His love. The justice of God is part of His love. The justice of God is part of His love. God Himself, or His love was in His justice, when God declared that His wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, right? Romans 1:18. It is of His love to hate evil, and therefore a substance of His love to discipline the evil. It is no less righteousness to give accordance to the deserts of all the persons in a way, in a way of punishment than to reward a person that responds in faith to His Son. I just want to share with you, when I was writing this, I put down the word punishment, and my wife said, wait a minute, you've been teaching, you've taught for a long time, God doesn't punish, God disciplines. So I went, oh, that is what you've been listening to me. So I changed things to discipline rather than punishment.
Yeah, really?
Now, as, yes.
I think I'm not connecting between perfect and righteous. Do they go hand in hand? And can someone be righteous but not perfect?
No, they go hand to hand. They go hand in hand. Okay. His love, therefore, shines in His justice. For without being just, He could not be love. Now, as He gives His justice, His love remains in effect. As He gives His justice, His love remains in effect. But if He does not give justice, His righteousness is no longer in effect. That makes sense? He no longer, if He doesn't do anything, then He no longer is righteous in effect. But if He does not give justice, His righteousness is no longer in effect. For all eternity, His love is in effect, while His justice is fulfilled for all eternity. The total attributes of God must be in existence, must be in work. His righteousness must always be without destroying His love. His righteousness must always be without destroying His love. That's what we were talking about. His justice of God, the justice of God, must always be in effect without destroying His love. His justice does not infringe on His love by the sending of His Son on the cross, being the judgment of everyone's sins. His love His love stays in operation with the praise of His Son in His declaration, in His ascension to heaven, and seated Him at His right hand above the angels. And I'll start. Carnot does a lot of talking about the angels, a lot. So we'll be talking about the angels a little bit. His love, therefore, shines in his justice. His love shines in his justice. Sin is a moral disorder in the world. Every sin is injustice. Injustice breaks God's order in the world. Breaks his order in the world. This is made clear by the first sin of Adam. It is necessary for justice to put the world in order. It is necessary for justice to put the world in order. But his love remains in order. Thus I love, I discipline. Those I love, I discipline. Those are words from God. If not a hatred of the sin of Adam, if not a hatred of the sin of Adam, of what is bad and unworthy as much of the part of his divine love. What happened to Adam if as much of his love as his hatred of this sin? What happened to Adam is as much the love of God as God's hatred of sin is. For Adam was declared spiritually dead in order that he might also be spiritually alive by means of faith. Now, excuse me just a moment. Number five, is not a manifestation of his love to make laws added with judgments. In other words, is not judgment important part of his love? The more severe the laws, the more deterring their evil sins make for the welfare of society. The design of law and the design of upholding the honor of those laws by the punishment of offenders is to promote love and restrain evil. To promote love and restrain evil. He hath promised life and happiness to them that obey. Is he less love because he will not distribute his goodness for to those that despise him? The hatred or the heathen never thought God is hate because he was just, nor unrighteous because he was just. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves. To discipline wickedness is right, therefore loving. To discipline wickedness is right, therefore it is also loving. To leave men uncontrolled in their wickedness is unrighteousness, and therefore unjust. Is not God of love and of grace to discipline men of their sinful ways? The punish sinfulness is right, therefore loving. To leave men uncontrolled in their sinfulness is unrighteousness, and therefore unloving. God's judgment in the world does not infringe on God's love. God's judgment does not infringe on God's love. The justice of God is a part of the love of His nature. It would not be justice of God, but rather folly, to let laws which were made to promote virtue to be broken from discipline. What would that do to mankind? Would not this be a weak virtue of God's love? Romans chapter 7, verse 12. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. And is it good, not the love of God, to advance that which is righteous? Now, point six. Not to discipline sinfulness. Not to discipline sinfulness. Wickedness would be a lack of love of God, of Himself. It would be weakness of God, not of His love. If there were no discipline, in fact, wouldn't this weaken His love? It would be weakness of love to be weakening of His laws. Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Love and truth go before it, go along with it. Man would forget his relationship with God. God would be unknown to be sovereign to the world if he were careless with his judgment. Psalm 9:16. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment in the work of his own hands. The wicked is snared. Now, it is part of his love to preserve the essential order between himself and his creatures. That would be man and angel. Is it not of his love to secure his own honor to prevent the further of evil? Is it not from his own love to discourage men by judgment that to be of a love that frees man to live in sin? Must God be unfavorable to himself to be kind to his enemies? Must God change the understanding of love to change himself to his enemies? The world is dishonored by sin, as well as God is wronged by it. How could God love if he violated his own honor? All his attributes, which are part of his love, cause him to discipline sin. Now let me repeat that. All his attributes, which are part of his love, cause him to discipline sin. Without discipline, he would run down his authority, his truth disgraced, and his love disgraced. Now, seven, discipline is not the intention of God. From his love, he hath no desire to discipline. the principal intention of God in His laws was to encourage His love, that He might encourage more of the love. God desires to honor the law and discipline the breaking of the law and rewarding those who love one another. This is why it is desired of God. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Verse 31, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. God hates the sin, not the sinner. He hates the destruction from sin, not the sinner. Now, we start adding some things, putting them together. Point 8, creation and His love. So we're going to get to talk about His creation and His love involved in His creation. Creation from God proceeds from His love. It is the love of God that a multitude of things come from nothing that was. Because God is love, things have a beginning. Because God is love, things have a beginning. The beginning of present things is much more excellent than not being at all. God did not create things because He was living, but because He was loving. Got that? God is not creator of things because He is living. He creates because He is loving. Because God created out of His love, out of all things that were created. And creation was the beginning of eternity, not the end. It was the beginning of putting things together, not the end. Because of His love is there. Creation was the first act by love. That is that was when He was alone from eternity. That is, that when God was just there, nothing else there. He contented Himself with Himself in His own blessedness. He was in love with His own righteousness. The creation was of His own love directed toward His own love. Creation was not an act of mercy. It was an act of love. There is nothing one can create that does not have a character of His love. There is not one creature that does not have a character of His love. He created angels. He created humans. It is impossible to not see His love in His creation. Not a drop of creation is not without the drop of His love. No other attribute of God could be more the motive of His creating than His love.
So Herman, creation wasn't at a single point. It wasn't a single objective thing done. He's still creating.
Repeat that again. How are you saying?
That creation wasn't a single point in time.
Okay.
And that He's still creating. Out of His love.
That is it. He created out of His love.
Okay. So the ongoing differentiations and dispositions we're going to go through, those are not creations of His. He's already done that, and that's just history.
That's it. That's it. I see what you're saying, yes. Yep. His love was the cause that he created first of all. Yes.
Well, God creates time, so he's above the concept of time, and therefore whether he creates consecutively or not, that shouldn't matter, should it?
Well, it doesn't matter, but we're getting it down to get it an understanding of his creation. Okay.
Are we allowed to pray for some things to not be created, like flies?
I can tell you honestly, I pray it all the time. His wisdom was the cause that he made everything in order and in order and in his harmony. The fall of angels caused him to put everything into freeze. It's the beginning of Genesis 1. The fall of angels caused him to put everything into freeze. Then, his love was the cause of the restoration of his creation. That's Genesis 1, 2, and following. And the creation of mankind. When God created and designed mankind, it was out of his own image. He created man of his own image. In fact, that is repeated twice in one verse, Genesis 1:27. Because God's design and creation of mankind was in his own image implies that God has ownership over our lives.
So the creation of man actually on the ground, the revolution of the angels was prior to that set point.
Exactly. Exactly. How long had it been before? We don't know.
And Satan had already fallen.
Yes.
And he'd been put down at the earth.
Yes. And put into freezing. The world was put into freezing. That's Genesis 1, verse 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, God has a plan for everyone. God's ultimate will is the endowment of his kingdom, as per Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and for the glory of God, as per 1 Corinthians 10:31, and the salvation and sanctification of his children through or by his own Son, Jesus Christ. And why did God create mankind in his own image? Why did God create mankind in his own image for fellowship with mankind, as per his own Son for all eternity, John 17. He created mankind in the image of himself. He did not create them in the image of angels. He created mankind to be above angels and in fellowship with him. He was to make mankind in the image of their own maker. God created man. God created man. Angels did not create him. God created man his own image, not therefore in the image of angels. God created man. Angels did not create man. God created man in his own image, not therefore in the image that he had created angels. The nature of God and the nature of angels are not the same. Nowhere in the scriptures is man said to be in the image of angels. But man is created in the image of God himself. Herein is the love of God displayed, that he made man after his own image. Out of his love did he make man his own image. How great is his love, then has made us of his own image, when he could have created us even lower than angels. Okay, point nine. We just dealt with the first creation. Now, his love and the gospel. His love and the gospel. The whole gospel is nothing but one entire giving of God's love. When you think of the gospel, it's of God's love. The whole gospel is but one entire giving of God's love. When man fell from created love, God knew that he himself would not fall from his infinite love. Divine love would not fall from his own love, but offer sinful man a way to be restored. From his love, he would send the Redeemer, the redeeming death of his Son. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In fact, we know less said of the love of God as of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was revealed to us, that God has sent his own Son into the world so that we may live through him. God was in no need of creating us, therefore had no less need of redeeming us. God had no need to create us. He had no need, no far less any need to redeeming us. So he didn't have to do it. For since he created one world, he could have easily destroyed it and created another. Think about it. There was less necessity to restore mankind than to restore the fallen angel. Therefore, it is so rich that the apostle speaks of the gospel of redemption. He gave the title as the glorious gospel of the blessed God. 1 Timothy 1:11. Point 10, the effects of the gospel proclaiming his great love. The effects of the gospel proclaiming his great love. In creation, he created us from nothing. In redemption, he delivered us to even a higher place of love than before. In other words, we now are lifted to a higher place of love, to redemption, to exceed that of our creation. He raised us much higher. He raised us much higher in redemption than we could ever imagine in creation. His love astonished us in his own in our belief, far so far above our coming into being. There is more of his love expressed in the one verse in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, than is in the whole of the book. In creation, he performed an innocent creature of the dust, of the ground. In creation, he formed an innocent creature of the dust of the ground. In redemption, he restored a rebellious, sinning creature by the love of his Son. It is greater than love ever manifested in creation. In creation, mere nothing was vanished. In bringing us into being, but in redemption, hostility was changed for the enjoyment of our restoration. In creation was nothing. In our restoration, redemption was much more. This love is greater than that manifest in creation. That this was a far more expensive than what was laid out in creation. Now we're going to close with point 11. We've got more, but here's point 11. Today, February 22nd, 2022, things are very tense throughout the world. Today, with the world, with Russia. But our God is still revealing his love. So, let us continue to be in prayer daily for our Christian brothers throughout the Europe and Christians in Russia and for believers throughout the world. I don't think we are too far away from Jesus coming from the third heaven to our world. So, let us be fervent in prayer. Let us spend our time now in His Word, in Ephesians, Judges, Hebrews, and let us be in prayer for each other at this time. We are challenged to keep praying for each other in His Word. I am so thankful that we're studying in the love right now. Now, the last one isn't going to be that much because most of it's the Bible. So, point 12, this love is greater than the manifestation of His love in creation in regards to its cost in redemption. The cost of creation was nothing. Cost of redemption, cost in His Son. This was the expensive love that was laid out in creation. Psalm 49, no one can by any means redeem or give God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is priceless, and he should cease imagining it, imagining forever, that he might live on eternity, that he might not undergo decay. He must become a manger in Bethlehem and die upon a cross, and spotless must he be made of sin. This was because man was not worthy of a blessing, but worthy of a curse. His love is redemption. His love in redemption is greater than any love expressed to the fallen angels. In God's giving of Jesus to his redemption, to his Redeemer, it was his giving of the highest gift that it was possible for divine love to bestow. It was greater gift of love because it was his only begotten Son, not an angel. But he gave that Son, whom he commands all angels and humans to worship. Hebrews 4:6. But let's close in Psalm 2:12. Kiss, or do homage, to the Son, that he not be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath may not be kindled, may his wrath soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. In John 5:23, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor him. Any question? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, wait a minute. All right, you want to sing that? All right, you want to turn? If you'll turn to page 511. Well, I like ending in a song, so we're going to sing "My Country, 'Tis of Thee," page Psalm 111. Psalm 111. It's 511.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's cry, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country be, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and temple hills, my heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let hearts and silence break the sound prolong. Our fathers are to thee, Father of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, praise God our King.
Let's close in prayer. We praise you for your love. We thank you for your love. Let us be able to love more and more in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name.